The Wholehearted Parenting Manifesto by Breen Brown. Above all else, I want you to know that you are loved and lovable. You will learn this from my words and actions. The lessons on love are in how I treat you and how I treat myself. I want you to engage with the world from a place of worthiness. You will learn that you are worthy of love, belonging, and joy every time you see me practice self-compassion and embrace my own imperfections. We will practice courage in our family by showing up, letting ourselves be seen, and honoring vulnerability. We will share our stories of struggle and strength. There will always be room in our home for both. We will teach you compassion by practicing compassion with ourselves first and then with each other. We will set and respect boundaries. We will honor hard work, hope, perseverance, rest, and play will be family values, as well as family practices. You will learn accountability and respect by watching me make mistakes and make amends, and by watching how I ask for what I need and talk about what I feel. I want you to know joy, so together we will practice gratitude. I want you to feel joy. So together we will learn how to be vulnerable. When uncertainty and scarcity visit, you will be able to draw from the spirit that is part of our everyday life. Together we will cry and face fear and grief. I will want to take away your pain, but instead, I will sit with you and teach you how to feel it. We will laugh and sing and dance and create. We will always have permission to be ourselves with each other. No matter what, you will always belong here. As you begin your wholehearted journey, the greatest gift that I can give you is to live and love with my whole heart, and to dare greatly. I will not teach or love or show you anything perfectly, but I will let you see me, and I will always hold sacred the gift of seeing you, truly, deeply seeing you.
A year ago today, I think I started the sermon holding an almost 3-month-old baby in my arm. If he was here today, he would not be in my arms. He would be somewhere down the aisle there, offering fist bumps. That's his new greeting. So it has been a year of learning this new life of ministry and mothering. A decade or two from now, I think I may understand what has happened this past year. But for now, I'm just trying to be more like this almost 15-month-old, curious about everything, even if I don't understand quite what is happening. Being willing to be heartbroken and gleeful within minutes of each other, and also to not be the least bit afraid if something is hard work, because clearly almost all of the good stuff takes hard work. A few months ago, I told someone in this congregation that I would not be in the pulpit on the Sunday in February that was Ronan's birthday, because I would be with my family, and also because I thought I would probably be a mess and I would just as well do that at home and not right here. The person I said this to looked a little taken aback. And then she said, I've never heard you say that you would be a mess about something before. And I laughed too, thinking, well, you've sure seen it. But I think it's very possible that while this person and you have seen it, you may not have always known when my partial composure meant that I was a mess about something. Part of me not always showing or talking about being a mess is, I think, the role of being a minister, that I need to tend to my mess at home with my family. And of course, I'm inclined that way. My spiritual ancestors were Puritans. As you know, I have talked about them over the years and again recently. So I still have that nagging doubt that being a mess, particularly in public, is dangerous business. However, I think one of the gifts of motherhood is that I am more likely to just be a mess. Those of you who are mothering young people right now, or who have ever mothered young people, or who have ever seen someone mothering young people, are thinking, yep, it's kind of messy. But what I really mean is that I'm more likely to say, I don't know what to do. Or, I'm just figuring this out. Or to be teary about just about anything, and I don't think it's just the exhaustion. It's the visceral experience of profound vulnerability followed up by a choice to be vulnerable in this world. And what is most fascinating to me, and most unexpected, even though I've heard it described 100 times, is that hand in hand with increased vulnerability comes an increased willingness to take risks, an increased sense of clarity about what I am trying to do and what I think is most important, a sense of my own authority in the world, and that I can say, I think it would go well if we tried this. All of that comes with being more vulnerable in the world. They don't seem like an obvious pairing, but apparently they can be, which is why I have shared the Wholehearted Parenting Manifesto with you. This is another one of those documents where I think that the words in the phrase are a delightful combination. Just like love being a doctrine, I like wholehearted and manifesto together. Some of you might feel like your parents offered you some version of this wholehearted parenting manifesto as you grew up. And some of you heard that and read it and thought, things would have gone differently if that had happened in my house. And some of you are sort of shrugging it off. I'm saying that so that those of you who are shrugging it off will know that some other people are thinking hard about it right now. And those of you who are thinking hard about it can give the people who are not the space to be how they are. It's easier to be wholehearted with each other if we aren't trying to make sure that someone else is having the same experience that we are. I think the manifesto is useful for anyone who is trying to have deeper, more connected relationships with anyone in their life, not just a child, a friend, a spouse, even themselves. In the spirit of that manifesto, John and I made some promises to Ronan on his first birthday, when I was indeed a mess. We said to him, "We will let you be yourself. We will love you through everything. We will remember to have fun and be joyful even in difficult times. We promise to live rich, full lives and make mistakes to model that for you. We promise to maintain a strong connection in our marriage to provide a strong foundation for our parenting. We promise to help you explore the world. We can't protect you from everything, and it may not be a good idea to even try to do that. We will do everything we can to give you the tools to be yourself and be resilient. I don't know if you can hear the voices of the children outside now. Well, I could probably talk for an hour about all of those pieces, so I'll just talk about two. It's harder than we want it to be to let someone just be themselves. We see things in them that we identify with and decide, oh, they're like us. Or we see things in them that are like us and we think, oh, don't do that. Or we see things in them that we don't understand and we try to block that out or change it to something we do understand. Or we just don't listen well to who someone is and then they slowly hide themselves from us. I think that when we let children hide themselves, when we let anyone hide themselves, they slowly learn that we won't let them be who they are. And this is what Brené Brown is working on when she says, in our family, you will learn that you are worthy of love, belonging, and joy. Every time you see me practice self-compassion and embrace my own imperfections. But it is an interesting dance, this knowing someone, letting them be who they are, and loving them. I feel like I know who my little boy is in a deep, inarticulable way. After all, scientists have discovered that even after a woman gives birth, cells from her child or children can be found in her body for maybe the rest of her life. That women's bodies and brains are physically connected and changed by their children. One researcher says that researchers working with mice have found evidence that cells from the fetus can cross the mother's brain-blood barrier and generate new neurons. If this happens in humans, and there's reason to believe it does, then it means that in a very real sense, our biological babies integrate themselves into the circuitry of our minds. With that level of interconnection, you are, well, bonded. And it's easy to get overly involved or confused about who is who. If someone else is physically in your brain, it might be confusing. So while I celebrate that connection in my life all the time now, I also remind myself all the time now, there is a way that I will never fully know who this little person in my life is. In fact, he will probably never fully know who he is, but he has the best chance of doing so, not me. So I hope to strike a balance between this deep understanding that I do have of him, and that sense that there will always be a surprise. This, of course, is true in all of our relationships, that it is useful to remember that we never fully know each other, so we have to leave each other a little space all the time, in all moments, to let each other be just who we are. Regardless of who we seem to be last year or last week or in the last sentence. The other thing that I appreciate about Brené Brown's manifesto is that she is so articulate about wanting to protect her children and knowing that what she needs to do is help them actually feel the pain that they will experience in the world. I remember, I think in college, reading about a culture where they didn't tell their children no to anything. I think this was a culture that was a little simpler than ours. I don't think there were toxic chemicals stored under the kitchen sink or outlets on every wall waiting to be poked. But still, I remember being horrified and wondering about their infant mortality rates. What I suspect was that I read an oversimplification of a phenomenon of allowing children to experience things and not assuming that protection is better than recovering after a difficulty. I am wildly in favor of car seats and child locks on cabinet doors and things like that. But some of the other things I know that we protect our children from are disappointment, sorrow, frustration, awareness of death, confusion, and grief. These are things that I suspect we not only can't protect them from, but it may be that we don't serve them well by trying to protect them entirely. Of course, there are things that are too large for children at certain ages. And I wonder how often we might let them feel those things and learn that they can recover. When I was just a little kid, maybe 5, a neighbor and playmate of mine died of cancer. It was awful. My mother and I were home. My father and sister were off running around somewhere when the call came that he had died. And my mother had to tell me right away because I was standing right there when she answered the phone. If you have parented or mentored young people, you have had this moment when you have to say something even though you're not ready to. So when she told me that my little friend had died, I threw myself down and wept for so long that my mother had to call the pediatrician and ask, "What do I do if she doesn't stop crying?" The doctor predicted that I would, in fact, stop in time. And apparently I did. And I suspect that I slept hard that night. And then my mother tells the story that a few days later, I came up behind her in the kitchen and put my little hand on her leg and said, "I don't feel so bad about Todd now." I think she was quite relieved and a little stunned. I have no memory of any of this, but I hold on to that story to remind myself that even as a small child, I had capacity to face grief and loss and confusion and death with resilience. It meant a lot of weeping, and it meant a lot of pain. More pain than my mother could tolerate without some support. We had an amazing pediatrician. Are any of our pediatricians here now? They have probably all done some version of that. And I went on to be joyful and have more playmates who I adored. And I suspect that some of the tenderness between my mother and myself is that she listened to my tears, even though it was hard for her to do it, even though she worried that it might never end. This is what I think Brené Brown is getting at when she talks about being vulnerable. It's not about being powerless or wounded or helpless. It's about being open to what is happening, no matter what it is. Not keeping your distance from your own life to avoid the pain that comes with living. And this is where parenting is definitely a special case of any kind of human relationship. Brené Brown emphasizes the part of growing up and living that is about navigating pain and sweetness. And it turns out that we're almost always in the process of growing up, no matter how old we've gotten. So that sometimes we're navigating hurt feelings, sometimes loss, sometimes kindness, sometimes joy. Her role with her children, and she has taken this role with everyone she meets in the world, is to help people believe in their own resilience. So that, of course, children and all of us have to deal with things that we don't want to have to, but there they are. And perhaps if we are simply with each other, we can live into those and throw ourselves on the floor sometimes and weep and then get up with renewed courage and joy, sing lullabies, sing love songs, sing requiems, sing good lives.